From the 1st to the 7th of October in Meanjin, Brisbane, the Disrupt Land Forces Festival of Resistance will be held to disrupt and interrupt the efforts of the military-industrial complex who generate conflict as the byproduct of profit. Disrupt Land Forces is a decentralised, intersectional, direct action campaign taking place over 7 days through creative and collaborative action in resistance to Land Forces, the largest land-based weapons expo in the Southern Hemisphere. You can hear more about those profiteering off death and destruction and the history of anti-military activism in so-called Australia on 3CR Community Radio in the coming weeks. So head to Meanjin on the 1st to the 7th of October 2022 for the Disrupt Land Forces Festival of Resistance. For more information, visit disruptlandforces.org.
A 3CR supporter.
We've got Zelda on the line. G'day, Zelda. How are you?
Yeah, I'm great, thanks, Annie. Good morning.
Yeah, I lost my other call. I don't know where she's gone, but never mind. Maybe Cindy's
she's
there.
She's actually with me.
Oh, great. So we can have a chat see how things go. Now, you're up there in Meanjin, Brisbane. The Disrupt Land Forces Festival of Resistance has started, and this is in running alongside the event, the 4th to the 6th Land Forces Largest Weapons Expo in the Southern Hemisphere. Can you tell us about the festival first up?
Absolutely. So we launched last night with a beautiful solidarity fire event. So we had a number of... someone's calling my other phone. We had a number of First Nations speakers around the fire at the Aboriginal Solidarity Embassy in Mountsgrove Park in Meanjin. And we also had on Zoom a number of activist friends in West Papua also lighting fires. So we Zoomed the fires together. We had our West Papuan fires up on a big screen in front of us, and we heard their voices interacting with the elders' voices from this continent. Some songs were shared, many messages of hope and solidarity and determination were shared. It was just a beautiful event. So that was our official launch, but then we had our unofficial launch a day earlier when two of our young people managed to jump onto an autonomous killing machine, a sort of mini tank, driverless tank, that they can send out into the field to attack soft targets, which is code for humans. And these two young women managed to scramble on top of it despite a huge police presence and do a live stream from on top of that killer drone.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Because this expo, as they like to call it, includes people like Boeing, Thales, Rimmental, NIOA and Lockheed Martin and Elbit. These people are actually, these businesses are actually not just weapons manufacturers, but perpetuators of conflict.
That's right, absolutely. It's in their interest for there to be armed conflict. It's the foundation of their business. So it's all about the profits. And without armed conflict and preparation for armed conflict, there's no profit. So, they're absolutely in there agitating for more expenditure on weapons, so-called national security, which, nuclear weapons never made me feel particularly secure, just to give one example. It's never about defence. We like to think of it as attack spending. It's the attack industry. It's the Ministry of Attack, because that's what these weapons are for. They're to tear human bodies apart and devastate ecosystems.
It might be interesting for people to have in mind that the Morrison government promised the defence sector an additional $270 billion. And that the Albanese government made a election pledge to match that spending. That's an enormous amount of investment in this industry.
Yeah, it's $30 billion a year, so it works out to about $100 million a day. And that's not money that's going to our military or police forces. That's money that's going directly into the hands of private weapons corporations. So it's a gift of our money to weapons corporations to make weapons that they will sell back to us to be used against us.
And
so it's the most heinous sort of misuse of public funds you can imagine.
And, of course, Cindy Malkabori, who's there beside you, she's come from the West Papuan Highlands with her mother to raise their voices about how the Australian military spending and these companies' products are being used.
That's right. So Cindy Malkabori is here with me, and I'll pass you to her in just a moment. But, yeah, just to affirm that all of the companies that you mentioned, the Thales, Rheinmetall, Boeing, Elbit, Lockheed Martin, they are all selling weapons to Indonesia, and those weapons end up in West Papua, where they drive dispossession and extraction and, of course, tear human bodies apart. So I'm going to pass you to Cindy.
Thank you.
Okay. You go, Cindy. Hi, good morning.
Good morning, Cindy. Cindy, thanks for coming on to Solidarity Breakfast. It's a big journey that you've made from West Papua to come to Meanjin. Can you tell us about why it was so important for you to come?
Yeah, so actually I currently live and reside in Nam, Melbourne. So I made the travel from Nam, actually. I've been living here in so-called Australia with my mom, who's a human rights activist. So that was back in 2006 when we arrived in Australia. So, yeah, not so much a big journey for me, but, yeah.
Yeah, but an important thing to be there to represent the people from West Papua.
Absolutely. You know, militarism on this continent has brought genocide and also extractivism and ecocide. And what's happening here in this continent is the indigenous people of West Papua are also experiencing that, you know, where Indonesia destroys our forest and mountains for profit through, you know, economic ventures like the Grasberg mine. And, you know, it's the world's biggest gold and the third biggest copper mine in the world. And so in order to protect their investments, the Indonesian government brings these huge numbers of troops to mostly rural areas where, you know, these troops and military, they conduct human rights violations and abuses against, you know, Indigenous West Papuans. And this intense militarization has displaced between 60,000 West Papuan refugees, where these Indigenous people are becoming refugees in their own land without foreign aid from, you know, international community or NGOs because of the restriction on the island. And, you know, this has been happening in the last 4 years, yet we don't hear about this in the media, especially here in so-called Australia. And, you know, almost half the residents of Duga village, where mostly the refugees are from, you know, where it's a mountainous region in West Papua in the highlands, and they have to abandon their homes, their churches, children have to abandon their schools, their friends, their families, to become refugees in their own land. And so it's great for me to be here last night to sit around Solidarity Fire and have everyone yarning, especially from Indigenous communities, to be able to connect with our West Papuan brothers and sisters in West Papua and, you know, share how they resist against this colonial system together and how, you know, this struggle is a shared struggle between the two communities. And it's great to just, you know, hear stories around the fire and, you know, the fire symbolizes this sort of resistance as well. And if we keep that fire burning, you know, we keep the struggle going. And so it's so important to see that solidarity and connection and, you know, how everyone's here to, and also from non-Papuans to be sitting there and as allies and, you know, be the voice also for those back home that are unable to be, you know, vocal about what's happening and not having the freedom of speech and the freedom of expression in West Papua. And so it's great to see our allies standing in solidarity with us as well. Yeah.
It's extraordinary, isn't it? Because, you know, having an expo, which is, you know, nicey-nicey, big, glamorous sort of affair, tied to the outrageous destruction and dispossession and murder of people, which is basically what the parallel demonstration that you're part of is making clear to people. Australia has got blood on its hands because, in relation to this, because we continue to have military and police training programs in Indonesia. So therefore, we're putting the bullet in the gun, really, aren't we?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, Australia's helping, you know, funding and training these soldiers who will go back and commit human rights violations and abuses against Indigenous Papuans, and, you know, with the weapons that are being manufactured here in Australia as well. So, you know, Australia can't stay complicit to what's going on and be ignorant, you know, to what's to the humanitarian crisis, but also the human rights violations that are happening, you know, to one of their closest neighbour. Like, I travelled from Nam to Brisbane, and West Papua is much more closer. You know, it's like less than 250 kilometres. So that puts that in perspective. Why are we not hearing about this? And, yeah, I mean, Australia must not stay complicit to, you know, the selling and funding of, you know, Indonesian military, like weapons to the Indonesian military, but also training their soldiers as well.
Can I speak to Zelda again?
Absolutely.
Thank you for talking to me.
Hey.
Yeah, the demonstrations are going to continue throughout the expo. It's so funny calling it a mix. It's like a fair, you know, a fair of death.
Yeah, the killing fair. Yeah.
It's so weird. And they're all in their nice clothes, pretending that it doesn't really mean death. You guys are going to continue to raise the issue over the entire expo. So can you give us an idea of what's going to happen?
Absolutely. So over the weekend, we're in training mode. We're in the hall, in Jagera Hall, here in Brisbane. Come on up. Everyone's very welcome, except no police, thanks, but everyone else is very welcome. To come and join us. So we'll be workshopping, and we've got an array of creative tactics that we want to roll out during the week. Monday, because it's the Queen's birthday holiday here in Queensland, in not the Queensland. So Monday we're having an Eat the Rich banquet to celebrate the death of Her Royal Travesty. And then we'll be doing a procession down to Land Forces while they're all bumping in all their wares, all their tech. They like to call it innovation and cutting edge. You know, I like to remember that the edge that they're cutting is our skin. That's the edge that they're cutting with their technology. Then Tuesday, when the expo actually opens, we'll be holding a large public rally. We've got some awesome speakers lined up for the rally. And from Tuesday through till when the last arms dealer has left, we'll maintain a presence outside and around the hall. And we'll be looking to get in their way as much as we can.
Have you had any response from police?
Yes. Yes, we have. Yeah, they're humbugging us for, you know, details of everything. We've put in about 25 assembly notices telling us, you know, every time we want to go and buy an ice cream, every time we might want to take a walk down to South Bank, we've let them know in advance. But that didn't stop them, you know, really harassing us on Thursday night. They put a drone over the hall. They put police on foot around Musgrave Park, around the Sovereign Embassy and around the hall, and they put a vehicle in the driveway and were breath testing everyone who came in and out and license checking everyone who came in and out. So I had just picked up Uncle Ned Hargraves. Uncle Ned, or Jumpy Jimpa, is an elder from Yundamu. He is the person who convened the Karinjala Muwajari campaign, or police ceasefire campaign, advocating for disarming police, no more guns in police communities. They've had that terrible experience in Yundamu of the police shooting dead a young person, Kumanjai Walker, in his bedroom. You know, it's traumatised the whole community, and Uncle Ned's been this vocal opponent of policing in remote communities, and especially police weapons. So I had just picked up Uncle Ned from the airport and taken Uncle Ned to Jagaran Hall. And Uncle Ned had three exposures to police within the first hour.
God.
So it's really unconscionable harassment from the police to people who, like us, you know, we have a vow to harm no living being. So we're not going to harm any living beings. And to see 10 fully kitted up police with their weapons, pulling those two young women off the killer robot, was like, you know, 10 police. And I just thought, wow, they really want to protect those weapons, don't they?
Yeah. Says it all, really. Well, more strength to your arm. And we'll, at 3CR, every 8 a.m., every breakfast, we'll be touching base, hopefully.
Fantastic. We'd love it.
Yeah. Good on you, Zelda.
All right. And people can look at Wage Peace Facebook. It's Wage Peace AU on Facebook, and it's Disrupt Wars on Instagram. We're also on Twitter under Wage Peace AU. So, yeah, you'll get the what's happening as it's happening on our social channels. And we love it to hear from you. We love it when you comment and share our work, and it lets us know that, you know, we're being felt. So, yeah, please jump on and add your voice there.
We see you.
Thank you.